Welcome, my friends, to Scry Mirror of the MTG Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems. Dennis, it's the most wonderful time of the week, my friend.
It's the longest 45 minutes of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. I was going to say, I look forward to, you know, 3 or 4 hours after we schedule to record Scry Mirror River every...
Okay, I asked you to record earlier today, and you said, why don't we play Apex Legends instead?
Dennis, the first message you sent me at 9 a.m. when we agreed to meet was, hey, I'm tired, can I sleep a little longer?
What did I say immediately after that,
though? I don't know, I went back to sleep straight away.
I'm pulling up receipts.
This
here.
Is very funny. No. So Dennis messaged me, so we agreed to meet at 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis messaged me like, hey, I'm buggered, can I sleep? I need to sleep a little
at
longer.
9 minutes to 9, yeah. Can we push it back a bit? I slept terribly.
And I was like, yep, no worries, how long? He's like, yeah, half an hour. I'm like, great, turned off my alarms, went back to sleep. I then woke up an hour later at the appointed time to find Dennis had messaged me 10 minutes later, I can't sleep, let's go for it. So, oops.
I sat at my computer for just 40 minutes. I'm just
there snoring, enjoying my little sleeping that you gave me. So, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about the Dennis. Had a good time playing Apex, though, with you.
Well, I had a tiring time playing Apex, but with you, mate.
How are your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, carrying just gets to you after a while.
Now, listen, you were hitting a lot of shots, and I...
What happened?
I'm better than I was this morning, dude. I know you haven't seen much evidence of that, but I was not hitting them shots, man. Not today.
A lot of warning shots today.
A lot of warning shots. Yeah, exactly. We're shooting people's illegal, Dennis.
You know, I love making that joke. You turn a corner, I'm like, that guy shot me. That's against the law.
That's against the law. You can't do that. Anyway, we've got a great show today. We didn't get around, Dennis. I don't know what happened, but last week we didn't have time to address the many submissions we got about optimization.
So you talked a couple weeks ago about how you struggle with Magic has instilled in you this idea that you have to do everything optimally. And not only does it kind of pervert your enjoyment of Magic, but you found it leached into other aspects of your life.
Into life. That's right. And we had a lot of submissions. So I picked out some of them, some of which I actually found really helpful. So I want to read them out. And some to do with Magic, some to do with broader real life as well. And we've got some other submissions as well we'll get to. But looking forward to this week's episode, Dennis. Always nice to hang out with you, mate. Of course, always good. You know, when I get the odd chance every now and again to spend some time with my good mate Dennis. So, you know, enjoy that.
What's going on up here? I feel like I've been set up for a fall.
Oh no! Last week there was the whole "I don't want to do this show anymore" bit. So I was just
I thought we cut that out.
We cut out the worst part.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I was talking to someone about this. I was in the stream and someone was like, hey, cool episode of Smart, but the end made me really uncomfortable. I'm like, that's not half of it. So in the Forbidden Archives, no one will ever hear this, but Dennis and I decided to continue with the bit. It's just a bit, right?
Yeah.
It's just a bit, right? Where we staged a whole conversation about how Dennis was going to quit the show and then it made me really sad. So I was like, no, we're not putting it in.
You didn't even get the saddest version of that.
No, it was...
In about a year, we're going to release the night cut, and it's going to be in 4x3, only available on HBO Max.
So this is the vinyl that we're doing as well. If we ever press a vinyl, we'll put that recording on it. I've actually better make sure...
We'll backmask that recording onto it, is what we'll do.
Wait, did I delete it? I probably already deleted it. I bet it... Oh, no, wait. We'll have a recording on something. Anyway, Dennis, that's enough of that. It's time for the best part of the show. It's time for the most important part of the show. It's time for the ads. Now, a lot of shows sneak the ad in the middle, right? They hook you. They go like, right, we'll get them in with the content. And then
bam, MeUndies out of nowhere.
Exactly. We don't do that. We give you what you want straight up front. It's time for the ad for channelfireball.com. Big things coming to CFB, Dennis.
Riley, new logo, who dis?
New logo, who dis? I can't believe that Ballsy got the chop.
Ballsy got the chop. Now, Ballsy is not, when we talked about this internally, Rachel, our graphic designer, said, Ballsy is not going upstate to live with a bunch of other fireballs on a nice farm. Ballsy's still around. Ballsy's still in the Team C Builds McGuard logo. Ballsy's still in all the merch. And Ballsy's on the back of the shirt I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, broadly speaking, the main logo we use is no longer a screaming fireball coming out of a cathode ray television set.
With its tongue out.
With its tongue out, taste buds carefully drawn.
What was the origin story of Ballsy?
It was channel Fireball, as in the magic combo.
Yeah, the combo, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But also a channel to watch content on.
A fireball coming out of a TV. Yeah, okay, all right. But why a screaming fireball with its mouth open?
Why the teeth? That I don't know.
I mean, that... I can understand. I've never seen a fire... Like, I've seen a lot of fireballs now, so I'm a powerful mage, but, like, never seen one with one, a mouth, two teeth.
And three, no eyes.
A tongue. Also no eyes. Yeah. Oh, well. Ballsy is dead. Long live Ballsy. It's a brand new corporate vision for channelfireball.com with a slick new look.
We got some comments from people linking to YouTube videos about like another logo succumbs to the corporate oversimplification.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like Firefox and Internet Explorer before it.
Can we talk about some of the ones that didn't make it to print?
What do you mean?
The one? Well, there was one that you showed me that was particularly that raised some eyebrows in the office. I know that.
Oh, I don't think we can talk about that.
Can't talk about those ones, the forbidden ones.
We can talk about
that. Let me just tell you this, dear listener. There were some very interesting designs that didn't make it past the, the focus group stage? I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
There were some ones. I don't know if they were put in there as a gag, but like, I guess the thing is, right, when you're going through the design process and there's Ballsy, you're like, well, anything's on the table. If this has been the logo for the last like 20 years or whatever, however long it is, like we could do anything, right? So, watch out for the hand-pressed vinyl version of Scrimy River episode, whatever it'll be, because there'll be a hidden Channel Fireball Forbidden logo on there as well somewhere.
I like that. So the other thing is, Riley, Box Breaks have moved.
Oh, tell me more about this.
Box Breaks have moved off of channelfireball.com to, wait for it, cfbboxbreaks.com.
Interesting. Now, what made you pick that as a
URL?
Right?
The impetus, honestly, for moving this is it is now so much easier to browse them. Because before you had to go to channelfireball.com/boxbreaks and like scroll down this huge list. And I'm going to level with you, listeners, back home. John Sasso, every day, is hammering me and Mashi, being like, we got to get all these personal breaks up. I want to offer this Legends pack and this And I have to keep turning back to him and being like, John, this web page, this landing page, can't hold 200 products. Yeah. I don't know what
it's
you
like
want.
The picture of that guy holding all the limes. He's just going to drop some,
So now, cfpboxbreaks.com, just box breaks, baby. All filterable, all categorized, and we got sports now. Got some sports balls.
I saw this. What is this?
What do you mean?
It's disgraceful.
Why is that disgraceful?
Well, you joined the... Okay, Channel Fireball has been proudly serving the nerds of the Magic community for years and years, Dennis. It's the best place in the multiverse to buy and sell your cards. Now, all of a sudden, sports ball is involved?
If you think jocks are the people buying these $2,000 LeBron James cards, that might be at an extreme low while I have no idea how much a LeBron James card from the Prism set costs, you are sorely mistaken.
Is it nerds?
It is nerds and... rich nerds, I think.
So regular nerds and also rich nerds.
Yes, I suppose.
Do nerds like sports ball?
Yeah.
No true nerd like sports ball.
Riley, have you heard of fantasy sports?
That is just nerd nonsense, isn't it?
If you're there with a big... If you're playing fantasy baseball, if you're there with a big chart of like batting averages and stuff and using math to figure out who the best pick is for like for your point guard or whatever, that's nerd stuff.
It's super duper is. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. If someone was doing this for League of Legends, it would be like, well, that's, you know, if you've got the Poor Professor app up and you're looking at those spreadsheets.
How different is it? Oh, well, they've actually nerfed Yarick in top, so now the tower targets
all right,
his
nerd. Okay.
Of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How different is that to, oh, so and so's, you know, batting average is up 2% over last season? Like, that's not the same conversation.
Same
dude.
Conversation. It's a reskinned nerd conversation.
Yeah, Steph Curry got buffed this season.
So what we're saying, what you're saying is that we can go and bully all the jocks who are now like turning into nerds.
They will still beat you up. So.
They'll still take my lunch money and wedgie me over the lockers.
That's not going to change. But you'll be technically correct, which as we all know is the best guy.
All right. Well, let me tell you this. I don't like this. I don't approve of this. Channel Fireball Box Breaks to go and get all of your playing cards and your trading cards and all your good nerd stuff.
Here's the thing.
Sports breaks. I won't have it, Dennis.
I was like, sports cards. It's still a collectible card game. No, it's not. There's no game.
There's no game. You just get to look at
the cards about a game.
You just get to look at the cards. You just get to have the cards. Can I tell you this? A friend of mine, Patty Robinson, Dr. Patrick Robinson, now that these days, he bought an Alpha Unsummon, right? Which famously has like a printing error on it because it says any enchantments attached to the creature are card-ed, not discarded, right?
Very good.
And I was playing a deck that actually had Unsummon in it in standard, right? This is back in like 2013 or something. I'm like, hey, can I borrow your copy of Unsummon to play it? He's like, no. I'm like, why? You're not playing. He's like, yeah, but no, you can't. I'm like, why? I won't damage it. He's like, no, it's not, just not for playing with. I'm like, why do you have it? He's like, it's for looking at. I'm like,
I'm
all right.
On that one.
All right, mate. Okay, well, I don't need, whatever.
It's a photon-only experience.
It's a photon-only experience. This card is designed to reflect photons and do nothing else. So I guess for all the sports nerds out there who want to look at nice pictures of, I don't know, Stephanie Curry, then... great. I don't know. I've never been a basketball fan myself, but anyway. Dennis.
What could now, what sports could we make? Would you buy cricket cards? Would that be more interesting to you?
No. I mean, my Australian Rules football team won the last premiership and I was excited for a day.
I mean, that's a long time to be excited about a sport you have nothing to do with.
Well, I mean, I'm a fair weather fan. Like, we won the premiership. I dug my dusty old scarf out of the bottom shelf and put it on a stream. And I was like, "Woo, Tigers." And then I think we're winning. Like, I think we were second last time I saw. I don't know. I can check. But like, we're like the best team in the league and we were the worst team forever. And now we're the best team. And so like, I've been grandfathered into liking this team that was always terrible, but apparently now is really good. So I'll take it. Oh, no. Oh, we picked up a loss. We're 2-1.
Have things gone south for the Tigers?
Things have gone south for the Tigers. We're sixth.
Of?
18.
Oh, I thought you were going to say of 8.
No, not quite. Do you know an interesting thing about the AFL? There's a cut to top 8 at the end.
Oh, well, that's cute.
There is. At the end
it's
of the...
It's to cut to top half, I guess, right?
No, there's 18 play. 18 teams.
Oh, there's 18?
Yep. So there's a cut to top 8. And people literally get into 8th on breakers.
Something's never changed.
Something's never changed. That's it. Anyway, Dennis, we've got our backup.
Our other sponsor, of course, yeah.
These pestilential wall builders, Dennis. And can I tell you this? Mm-hmm. They've zagged on us, and I don't like it.
They've zagged?
They have. I don't like it. Maddie writes, so Maddie and Hal, Drystone Walling from Yorkshire. I guess we still have to plug them, which I don't like. And you won't like it either, Dennis, when you find it. This is the email I got. I haven't had a chance to share it with you.
Uh-oh.
Maddie Robertson writes, "Hi, dear Riley Dennis, greetings from Yorkshire." Thank you, Maddie. "We continue to be very pleased with the advertising of our company on your popular MTG Plus podcast." I like that.
That's true.
MTG Plus. That's good. "We can confidently say that it has not had a negative effect on business since we began our sponsorship arrangement. Indeed, the marketing department has just compiled the end of year financial report attached, which I think you will agree is rather impressive. Dennis, it is a picture of chickens with the word stonks on it. However, we are acutely aware that we haven't been able to uphold our end of the bargain. Whilst you've been spreading our name far and wide throughout the Magic community, we've yet to receive any kind of ad copy, promotional material, or time capsule from you, which we can advertise in the future." Remember how we said we're going to do that?
Oh, yeah.
I did forget that. I did forget that was like the payment that we were supposed to receive.
Yeah, we the ball is in our court on that one for sure.
Yeah, but do you know what they've done, Dennis? Check this out. We were unsure what to do about this situation and then realized that we must learn from the best. Who better to copy than professional marketeer and qualified promotionsman, Dennis Stranjak?
Oh, I don't care for where this is going.
So until we receive communication from Smar about how to move forward, we will advertise one of your competitors every week. See attached photo for the first capsule, which has gone into a wall. Dennis, I will now show you the photo.
I have not seen this.
And of what they've done. So here is the wall. Right?
It is loading.
Beautiful, beautiful stone wall in the middle of Yorkshire.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful one.
Actually,
yeah,
okay. I don't know how they took the sun is shining, so I don't know when they managed to take this photo. Here's a little bottle that they've put in, a little glass bottle with the message in it. As you can see, they've rolled up a magic card.
Oh, there's a magic card, yeah.
Magic card and a note. The card is warning, right? And Dennis, you want to read the note here?
"Hello, the future. In order to get the very best Magic the Gathering advice in 2021, listen to Magic FM, a podcast brought to you by Channel 4. But no!
Dennis, they've strange-jacked us.
Oh, my God.
And they end the email with a warning.
"Your market share in 2221 is already suffering. We hope this will spur you into action. You don't have any time to lose. The future will not wait. All the best, Manny Hal, Dryston Walling."
Because if it's not
Manny Hal, Dryston Walls, it's probably someone else they know.
Obviously, a very close-knit community of the Dryston Walling practitioners in England. Dennis, we must act.
We must act.
We must act.
I need to get them copy and assets.
We need to get them copy and assets. We need to forward that. We need to fax that over to them post haste, Dennis. Let's put that on the list because I mean, it's bad enough that they're advertising Magic FM. What's next? An ad for Limited Resources?
Limited Resources.
An ad for the Lords of Limited?
I was expecting an ad for like Star City Games, to be honest.
Oh, jeez. Oh, don't give them ideas.
I know.
Oh, that's next week. Anyway, Dennis, so it's not often that like you end up in sponsorship arrangements where like the sponsors
start
directly antagonizing each other. But hey, I guess we started it, so.
Yeah, anyway. We wouldn't have a leg to stand on there.
Anyway, Dennis, we're going to move into the meat of the show here. And a little more serious, I guess, because we had a question for those of you who didn't listen 2 weeks ago. We had a question about optimizing, right? About how magic, you know, someone seeking advice on how magic ends up just making you want to do everything optimally, perfectly, right? Why would you bother doing anything if you weren't going to do it the best way, or, you know, why would you waste time doing it? Whatever, right? So,
which means as a result, this episode has turned into sort of a de facto audio only on digital group therapy / you know, support group session.
Kind of, because my answer to that question was, I've got no bloody idea.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I'm not alone.
Mm.
And it turns out, Dennis, that there are also a lot of people who have dealt with this themselves and have shared their wisdom and perspective. And I want to kind of, we got quite a few submissions. I didn't get to them all, but I've highlighted some of the ones that I liked. And I guess we'll just read through them and kind of see where we land on them, Dennis.
I think so.
And see how they treat us. Our first one comes to us from Corel. After listening to the previous episode of Smart, I was thinking about how I avoid trying to optimize everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a famous problem in computer science, says Corel. Computer science and maths call it the hill climbing problem. The gist of it is that if you're solely focused on constant optimizations, you'll get stuck at a local maximum, but not the global maximum. Think of going to a mountain range in the dark and trying to get to the highest point. If you're solely focused on being optimal with every step, you'll get stuck at the top of a foothill. You'd have to take a less optimal step, for example, going down, to eventually get higher. It makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, to get to the top of the hill, I have to just walk up. I cannot take a step down. You won't get to the top of the mountain. Definitely not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unless it's one of those like cartoon mountains that, you know, is just a triangle.
It's a triangle, yeah.
My takeaway from this was that it's sometimes important to do things suboptimally in an attempt to find a new maximum. I found it's a good way to get out of the micro-optimization mindset. To use your example from the previous episode, when I build a commander deck, I purposely avoid going down the same paths I've always been. I know where those decks will end up, but I have no way to know if they're actually truly optimal. This lets me try other things while still having the overall goal of being optimal.
It's almost like an evolutionary theory thing.
You kind of branch out into different areas to see if any of them actually
knowing
might be
some,
better.
If not most of them, will fail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you will never tread new ground. You will, which means maybe it is like Riley. Is it paradoxically suboptimal to play only optimally?
I think it might be. I think the word that really got to me here is the micro optimization. You know what I mean?
This is something we ran into in Apex Legends.
Yeah.
When we first started playing, when you were like, "Oh, I don't want to use." I can't remember what gun it was at the time, but you were like, "Because it's not very good."
Mm.
Or you were like, "Sorry," you were like, "The Mastiff is really good."
Yes.
And then we talked about this today, and then you were like, I never land any shots with it. I die every time I use it. But I like the flatline or whatever, even though it's, you know, on base statistically not a very good gun.
Yeah, I hate the flatline, but the EV, yeah. So to bring people into this sort of under this Apex umbrella, there are some guns that are very, very popular amongst like high level players. The Wingman, which is basically a revolver, right? It's very hard to hit shots, but it does a lot of damage. The Mastiff is similar. It has, Dennis, between the time that it takes to fire two shots from the Mastiff, empires rise and fall.
Mountains
crumble into dust. The fire rate on this gun is so slow, so you have to hit your shots, right? And they're the best guns in the game when you're a great player.
Mm-hmm.
When you're an idiot like me, Spitfire, baby. Spitfire with an extended mag. It shoots for about a minute before running out. You never have to reload. It's fantastic. So that, I think I did play around optimizing there, because rather than being like, no, I have to get good with the Wingman, I'm like, I'll do better if I take a less optimal.
I'll be the best Spitfire player in EUS, baby.
That's it, man. And I think like this micro-optimization mindset that Corel talks about, the hill climbing problem, is a very valuable thing to think. Like the example I used last time was taking like my dishes out to the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it until I also like need to go to the bathroom or like need to fill up my water bottle or whatever, right? But the irritation that comes from like, oh, my water bottle's empty. I need to fill it up. Oh, but I can't do that until I need to. You're like, no, I'm thirsty. Like, just go and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to have a worse time overall. So trying to look for optimizing like broader things, finding a higher maximum is actually, it's a good mindset. And it tricks you as well, because you're like, well, I'm still trying to be optimal. So you don't have that little voice in your head going,
top level optimal.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people wrote in about their experience with magic, specifically, Dennis. You want to read the next one for us here?
Yeah, our next question here, not even question, comment on the current issue, I suppose, comes from Siriday. Siriday, let's say, I too am obsessed with optimizing in magic and in life. I regularly plan out the shortest route to walk somewhere in my head as I'm walking. I do exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Cutting corners or crossing the street at long angles, etc. Yep. And in magic, I regularly think about how much better my deck could be if I added Expropriate or Fierce Guardianship or whatever it happens to be. For life, I recommend considering different definitions of optimal. This is kind of similar to what Corel was talking about. Riley seems pretty fit, so he might not value the extra steps of an unnecessary trip to the kitchen to put a bowl in the dishwasher. But as someone who sits around all day, I value those extra steps. With respect to Magic, I just don't own all the best cards, and if I do end up opening one in a pack, I try to trade or sell it because the money or trade value is worth more to me. So even if Force of Will is better than a current counterspell in a deck of mine, I don't own any, so I don't have to hum and haw about it.
So kind of putting limits on your own, like how much you can possibly optimize. It's like, well, yes, I should put Expropriate in this deck, but I don't have any copies of it, so guess I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's good. It puts a sort of a hard cap on how much you can worry about optimizing.
It's got a little bit of like a don't sweat the small stuff and it's all small stuff feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A lot of it feels a lot like permission. You know what I mean? You've just got to give yourself...
You're allowing yourself, yeah.
It's got to give yourself permission not to worry about this sort of stuff.
You know what it is interesting? It's sort of reverse discipline.
Yeah, it's allowing yourself to be slovenly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's allowing yourself to be from Slovenia.
That's not the demonym for people from Slovenia. Yes, I'm Australian. This is my friend Jakub. He's slovenly. I'm Slovenian. Yeah, I know what I said.
I'm from the Balkans, by the way. It's okay for me to make that joke.
Is Slovenia part of the Balkans?
Yeah, of course.
You described Slovenia to me as spicy Italy.
No, Croatia's spicy Italy.
You said Slovenia was spicy Italy.
Did I?
You did.
I've never been to Slovenia.
Okay. But Croatia, I guess, is also spicy Italy?
Oh, man. I'm looking at a map of Slovenia, and of course, there's Riley, I want you to look up the capital of Slovenia and try to pronounce it for me.
All right.
It contains two letters, or at least two phonemes, that don't exist in the English language.
Okay. All right. Slovenia capital. Oh, wow. When I type in Slovenia capital, it autofills to Slovenia capital pronunciation. Dennis, you've embarrassed yourself because I do know how to pronounce this. It's Ljubljana.
Yeah, Ljubljana.
Ljubljana.
Is a very tricky thing to say, yeah, generally speaking.
But I think if you didn't know and you went Ljubljana. Ljubljana.
There's another place in Slovenia which just came up here on the map that I looked up, which is called Novo Mesto.
Okay.
Which sounds kind of cool. Sounds somewhere like you might go in like The Witcher.
Yeah.
Novo Mesto just
means... The bandits attacked us from Novo Mesto.
Those two words just mean new place.
Ah, good. So this is when some disenfranchised noble, the son, the second son of a lord was like, well, I'm going to go and start my own new castle. Oh, where is it going to be? Over there in that place, the new place over there.
Oh my God. There is a castle there, by the way.
That's what happened, Dennis, I bet.
It's called Gurm Castle.
Which means?
I'm pretty sure it means like a lightning castle.
That's cool.
Gurm. Is lightning, so Gurm... No, it's a bush. Never mind. Bush castle, much less exciting
than lightning castle. While we're on the topic of Croatia, this is something that just gets me every time I look at a map of this part of the world, because I've just seen it in Slovenia as well. Everyone, go on and have a... We've talked about this in the podcast. We've done this to death. What is Croatia's problem with letting neighboring countries swim, dude? Because not only is there this tiny, tiny strip of land with Neum.
I got swimming in Neum
where Bosnia and Herzegovina gets the tiny scrap of coastline of it, but also up north with where Croatia meets Slovenia, they get coastline too. And that's it. They get a little bit of the Gulf of Trieste, and that's it. What is the Croatian's problem? Is it because like they want to maintain their international standing as like world class water polo players?
I think it's truthful. Now look. There are many Wikipedia articles about the drawing of the borders of Yugoslavia that I am not prepared to dive into here. But I imagine it's an economic decision.
I mean, it does make a lot of sense. Yeah. Try to...
The weird part is that super valuable. The weird part is that Dubrovnik, which is where the biggest airport in Croatia is,
and where
King's Landing is not connected to the rest of Croatia.
Yeah, no, it's this tiny little, like, is it an exclave? Enclave. Is that what it's called?
It's an enclave between between Montenegro and Bosnia.
I think it's called an exclave when you've got an area of your country that's outside and not connected to your country. I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, whatever it is.
But is that not also an enclave because it's within
an enclave is when it's surrounded by something else. So, for example,
I guess the sea breaks that up.
Lesotho is an enclave of South Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's
but yeah, I've driven down this exact road many, many times. And yes, when you get past Opuzen, or when you get past Klek, you do have to, you pass a border from Croatia into Bosnia.
Yep.
And then you get past now, you pass a border from Bosnia back into Croatia.
Do you know what I don't like about this tiny, tiny bit of Bosnia-Herzegovina? It's the only strip of coastline, only like beach that you can go to in the entire country. Mm-hmm. And one of the beaches, Dennis, is called Feral Beach. That doesn't make me want to go there.
Feral, yeah.
Feral Beach.
I don't think that means anything other than that. Sarajevo's not a word I'm familiar with.
In Croatian or in Bosnian or whatever, it means beautiful paradise beach, but, you know.
You'd like no, man. It's so warm. It's like a little bay.
Yeah. Oh, man, don't talk to me about that. It's mid-April and I'm still freezing. Anyway, that was our Balkan history lesson.
Balkan chat.
That's Balkan chat. Let's move on. Scorch also wrote in. I want to share this one because this is like another little solution. I like the fact that people shared the fact that it's like kind of, oh, me too. But also I like the solutions that some people sent in. And this is an interesting one. I don't know if I'm going to do this myself, but maybe this will help some other people. Scorch says, Dismar, with regards to optimization, this was something that my playgroup and especially myself would run into. So we came up with, Dennis, achievements. To try to keep the decks more fun. I assume this is during EDH. We would have a list that we would try to complete, and this would be from things like win by casting one spell, to build a deck using a card from each letter in the alphabet. Doing this led to some of the most ridiculous deck builds as we all tried to complete the Sorrow's Path as a win-conditioned achievement, for example. Nice. I like this a lot. You can't build you can't build optimally in a vacuum when you're going towards an achievement, but you can build optimally towards the achievement. Which is going to be a lot less strain, I imagine.
Yeah, I suppose it's not. Yeah, you're kind of tricking yourself into having fun by putting up artificial walls.
But I like that. I think that, you know, if we all have this desire to optimize or feel like we're, you know, doing the best that we can be in whatever area it is, if you all of a sudden like lower the stakes to a point where you're not being like, oh, I need to put Expropriate in, you're like, now how can I break Sorrow's Path? You know, I feel like that's a much better energy to bring when you're trying to optimize.
My favorite one of those stipulations is Ladies Looking Left.
What? I've never heard of this. Tell me about this.
It's an old meme about an EDH deck where you can only use cards that feature art of female characters looking to the left of frame.
Stage left?
Yeah, stage left. So from no, audience left.
Right, so they're facing the left frame of the card.
Yes.
Ladies looking left. The triple L stip. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's like the hat draft that Loading Ready
There's a bunch. Champion of Ronas. Captain Cisse, the new one, Bruna. I'm looking at someone, Bloom Tent. I'm looking at someone's list they put up on.
So this is a real thing. There's like this, you got a.
Oh yeah, Jiraga Tree Speaker. It's pretty good.
That's a good card.
Who is the commander though? The commander appears to be Janara, the Sewer of War, which is demonstrably a female angel looking to the left.
I've never heard of that card before.
I mean, I think they're like, we need like a three color one.
Yeah, yeah. They've gone through all of them. Like, all right, I need a legend with like as many colors as possible because, oh boy, it's Ladies Looking Left. And I guess like even on instants and sorceries and stuff, there would still be. Mm. I like this, but that's cool. Yeah, yeah. I'm into this, and this is a way to scratch that itch to get those happy chemicals from your brain for doing like for optimizing.
They have kept it for sorceries. We have the Ponder, but it's the Merfolk one with the Merfolk looking to the left. We have Nissa's Renewal, Nissa's Expedition.
Okay. Is the mermaid in Ponder looking left?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see this. Is it really?
The Lorwyn one?
The Lorwyn, oh, yeah. The merfolk, like, under the water. I know the art. Yeah. Let me see. All right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Her face is kind of pointing. She's more looking at the camera, looking at her hand, but her face is pointing left.
Here's the best one, Riley. On. Look up the art for Serene Remembrance.
Okay, Serene. I've never heard of this card. And this is great as well, because you start using cards that, like, you've never heard of.
Serene Remembrance, you're in the clear no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. So Serene Remembrance is a card from Gatecrash. I've completely forgotten it. And it has Trostani, right? The dryad that has three faces. One's facing left, one facing straight, one's facing the right.
Covered no matter what, baby.
Ladies looking right, straight in there.
Ooh, the sneakiest. Okay, we'll stop with this purely visual gag on this audio-only podcast just a second. But the other one I like that is here is the Battle for Zendikar, Seek the Wilds.
Seek the Wilds. All right, let's have a look at this one.
It was almost a lady looking right.
Yeah, she's hanging off the side of a cliff.
But she's looking over her shoulder to the left.
Think like Breath of the Wild key art with Link scaling a cliff, except she's looking over her shoulder at the left. That's cool, man. That is very cool. Scorch, I love it. That's very, very good. All right, Dennis, hit us with the next one from Dish KP.
I believe this is the last one on this.
No, we got one more after this one.
One more after this, you're right, sir. Yeah. Dish KP writes in and says, on the subject of optimization, my personal valve is knowing my playgroup and what they need. I am highly competitive in all Magic except for Commander because my main crew is not competitive. So my goal becomes things like, yeah, I could use the removal spell they know the name of, but if I use this less efficient one, they'll have to read it and try to work out why I'm using it.
I thought you'd like this.
I do. Yeah, this helps them develop skills that will benefit them as players long term and adds a little bit of enjoyment for me in what may be a slower game.
Yeah.
If I still feel like optimizing, I will do it to a theme deck. For example, using the best green draw and removal isn't going to make me oops all bears a competitive EDH deck.
Yeah. I like the idea of, you know, you play like Sever the Bloodline instead of just a regular removal spell and you flash it back for seven. Like, wait, what? Isn't that how much does that cost? What does it do? Why? Hang on. Why is it killing all my, what?
Do you know my favorite card for that is, Riley, for like, why does this do this?
Yeah.
Is Frankenstein's Monster.
Frankenstein's Monster. How old
is that?
Could
you please Google and very old and read. Now, this originally made it into my confusing tokens deck.
Yeah,
I cut the black out of it. But please read Frankenstein's Monster.
All right. Do you want me to read the Oracle text or the printed? Let's do the printed text first, see if I can figure it out from that. When Frankenstein. So it's
Black X.
Black X 01. Oh, no. Yeah, I've seen this card before. When it is brought into play. If you do not take X creatures from your graveyard and remove them from the game, Frankenstein's Monster is countered. For each creature removed from your graveyard in this way, you may choose to give Frankenstein's Monster a permanent +2/+0, +1/+1, or +0/+2. Dennis, this card is awful. So, Oracle text. And when it enters the battlefield, exile X creature cards from your graveyard. If you can't, put it into the graveyard instead of onto the battlefield. For each creature card exiled this way, you pick a +2/+0, +1/+1, or +0/+2.
The best is Riley. So you make a X equals 3, right? You're playing a proliferate deck. You want to give it 1+2/+0 counter, 1/1 counter, and 1+0/+2 counter. So when you proliferate, you get all three of them again.
That is the worst. I mean, incredible flavor. You're like hacking it together with bits of monsters or creatures that you've exiled.
This is back when they had Shakespeare and stuff on cards. I can't believe they let it be called Frankenstein's Monster.
I'm just glad they didn't call it Frankenstein. Actually, that would have been. That would have been good because then I could have been. Well, no, actually. Yeah, exactly. I like this though. I like this. I hate the Frankenstein's Monster confusing card thing, but I do like the way that Dish KP is. Again, what did you call it before? It's like a self. What was it?
Anti-discipline.
Yeah, it's like you're disciplining yourself into being less disciplined.
Allowing yourself to be Slovenian.
I wanted to read one more, and this one's a little more serious. It comes in from Oh That Sean, and it's more Sean speaks about this in a broader sense, in a sort of mental health sense, right? Not just to do with magic, and this actually I found very valuable. I'd like to comment on the problem that Ryan and others are having with optimizing. I'm not saying this for certain, might be related to what my therapist calls black and white thinking, right? Mm. And I think, it actually is related to this sort of thing. When I first learned about black and white thinking, I was able to clearly see how it impacted my life. Why even bother going to college if I'm not getting a law degree from Harvard? I guess I'll work part-time at Best Buy for the rest of my life, right? That's where I started, says Sean. That's where I was at when I started therapy. And since then, I've seen that there are many, many ways to live out your life. And doing the most or the best or the most extreme efficient version of life isn't always compatible with leading a successful or enjoyable or rewarding life. Just knowing about the concept of black and white thinking and practicing recognizing it will help you take a step back and evaluate what you actually want to do. Do you want to sit at a desk with a dirty cereal bowl just because it's optimal to wait till it's time to carry the cup? Just practice thinking about it. Maybe this isn't going to help at all, but why listen to a podcast if you're not going to comment and make submissions at every chance you get? This for me really resonated. And there was a link that Sean, you can go on the Discord, bit.ly/join on this Discord. You can find Sean's link and Sean's comment. And there's a link there that actually takes you to a mental health website that tells you more about this way of thinking. And I realize I fall victim to this all the time. I'd like to write a book, Dennis, but why would I bother if it's not going to be a New York Times bestseller?
One Piece, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Well,
this
is the thing. Well, forget about the book. Go macro. This is what we talked about with you and Ozymandias.
Yeah. I look at this and I'm like, what's the point of trying to build a legacy if I'm not going to be like a Caesar? You know, what's the point of trying to be someone whose name goes down in history if I don't end up as like someone like Napoleon?
Even then, what did Caesar really look like? I know we have busts of him. Which direction did he eat a pizza in? We don't know.
What did Caesar do, Dennis?
Oh, I don't know. Mostly, as far as I'm concerned, got stabbed.
Like, what is Caesar famous for? People know being who he
on
is.
Being on coins? I don't know any policies he enacted as emperor.
And you're a relatively well-educated. Like,
I have high third level education, but not in history, but nonetheless, you presumably know.
Well, my academic field is history, and I still
your business to know.
I still don't know that much about Caesar. I know bits and pieces, right? I know he crossed.
What did Caesar do?
Pardon?
I know he crossed.
He crossed the Rubicon. He
I knew that.
He proclaimed himself emperor. Like, he seized power. He changed the structure of the.
That's why they call him Caesar. Of course, yeah, he's the Caesar of power.
Title. Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's just different spelling because it was in Latin, Dennis. Exactly.
Of course.
Did some funny stuff with pirates at one point. Did you know this story? When he was younger, he got captured by pirates, taken to an island, and he's like...
Oh, I think he did know. I think I did know this.
He's like, hey, you better let me go, because if you don't, right? If you don't let me go... Like, they realized he was someone important. Like, oh, if you don't let me go, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to kill every one of you. And like, Jules, yeah, it's a good joke, mate. Very funny. Ha, very good. And all that. Anyway, he eventually got away from the pirates, got a Roman fleet, came back, murdered a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with Julius Caesar, man. But like...
But here's the thing, two things. One, how likely is it that actually happened?
I think that did happen. Like, well, it's written down, and it's not. It's illegal to write down things that didn't happen, Dennis.
It's illegal to write down lies or apocryphal tales about, you know, world leaders.
Mm. Yeah.
We get apocryphal tales about leaders who were around when cameras were around.
What's the most famous thing about Napoleon?
I know it's wrong, but it's that he was short.
He's not. He wasn't short, but that's what everyone thinks.
He was like average height for the time.
So what's the point in chasing down a legacy if people are just going to think that you're short anyway, you know? Like,
I've seen Napoleon's toothbrush, Riley.
Have you really?
He was captured in Ireland for a while in related to something. I don't know why. But he was held prisoner here, and the Royal College of Surgeons here has Napoleon's toothbrush.
I mean, I find that very cool, but I'm trying to figure out why.
Yep.
And this is the problem with legacy. This is the problem with this. You know, this is what black and white thinking, in my very basically uninformed, he's like, why should I try to do something?
If I'm not gonna be F. Scott Fitzgerald, why should I write a book?
Yeah.
And if I'm not gonna write a book, why should I go to college? And why should I even get out of bed?
Dennis, if I'm not gonna be the very best that ever was, why should I ever switch my Game Boy on? It's why a really dangerous way to think.
Go to that weird doctor's house and take a pet and go into the woods with it.
It's a really dangerous way to think, and I think that even if you're not thinking in black and white, like, because I don't think anyone lives their entire life in this way, otherwise, you just never get out of bed. But like, even thinking in, you know, darker or very lighter shades of grey, then you're still doing a real disservice to yourself. So I don't know. This is a. I mean, again, I you know, I've only had a cursory look through some of the stuff that Sean mentioned here with black and white thinking, but even that was just helpful in terms of recognizing behavior that I was going through that wasn't good for me, because
that's really good. Yeah.
As Sean says, you know, there are many ways to live your life, and doing the best, most extreme, most efficient version of life isn't always compatible with living a successful and enjoyable and rewarding life. We had this conversation.
I would go further to say it is almost never compatible with that, for what it's worth.
Like, my dad would always say, it's all about balance. That's the one thing that he would always say. Right. And there's so much wisdom in that, in the sense that, like, yeah, you need to sit and put your nose to the grindstone and do your work, but you also need to find time to, like, hang out with your mates and disconnect and zone out, and, you know, you gotta balance work and play. You can't do too much of any one thing. And this is connected to that, I think. Go on.
That's related to this in a tacit way, which was, god damn it, we could have all been eating weird mushrooms we found on the ground and laying in the sun by a lake until somebody decided to invent society, and now I have to go to Best Buy.
Yeah.
It's just like, it is funny that, like, I mean, also, as a counter to that, we would all live to 32 and die of, like, typhoid.
Yeah. It was the sort of thing like, oh, you cut yourself. Oh, well, it was very nice knowing you. Oh, you broke your leg? Well.
Or it was hot today and you were over 40. Rip. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, I don't know. Also, like, it's fun playing Apex Legends with you in the morning. I would
consider that exhausting.
I guess we could play, like, let's throw rocks into the river, though. That would be pretty fun.
Poo sticks.
We play some poo sticks. Don't need too much. Oh, no, you need bridges for poo sticks. We couldn't play poo sticks.
Yeah, it's true. You need civil engineering.
You need civil engineering for a game as simple as poo sticks. You can't play. For those who don't know poo sticks, it's a game from Winnie the Pooh where you drop a stick.
You each take a stick and drop. You lean over a bridge. You go on a bridge and you lean over the side and you both drop a stick. Then you run to the other side of the bridge and see whose stick gets past first.
Yeah,
and you're basically racing in the river.
And there are all sorts of underhanded techniques you can use. You know, my favorite one. There was this bridge.
my favorite is probably the people's elbow. That's my favorite underhanded technique for winning poo sticks.
What's that? Just hitting people.
It was almost The Rock's like finishing move.
I don't do that. What you can do though,
drop kick, very
if
effective.
The bridge doesn't
flatline, even better.
If the bridge doesn't go down too low, right? Like if it's not a deep bridge and there's nothing too much underneath, you can just twitch the stick underneath. So you kind of, you know, because you're supposed to drop it, but you can kind of throw it underneath the bridge.
You can put some stank on it as it goes under.
Exactly. And this led to a situation when I was in summer holiday. I used to play it, me and my brother and a couple of other friends when we were camping with my parents, where it stopped being let's play poo sticks, and it started being who can throw the stick the furthest under the bridge.
Underneath the bridge while standing on it. Just a different game.
Different game entirely. And that's some, you know what, Dennis? And that's some of the fun that society has afforded us rather than lying in the sun and eating mushrooms.
I tell you, I watched Christopher Robin the other week.
You did tell me about this film. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is
heartwarming, deeply nonsensical.
The film based on the life of the guy, A.A. Milne's son, actual Christopher Robin's actual person.
Yeah.
Although
I don't know how really it's based, because you know Winnie the Pooh travels through London using magic.
That happened, Dennis. We've already established it's illegal.
Oh, and then they cross the Rubicon.
It's illegal to write something down that isn't true. Yeah, I'm quite embarrassed that my knowledge of Julius Caesar is so limited, seeing as I'm a self, you know, described historian. But I know he crossed the Rubicon. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up shortly, Dennis, but the other week, I don't know if you remember this, I forgot. Do you remember the new segment you launched?
No.
He doesn't.
Oh, God, I do.
Do you remember it now?
Reading the first line of the next question, I do.
Do you remember a shoulder to scry on?
Yeah.
Someone just writes in, wants to have a complaint about something. And that's exactly what Ben Gathering the Magic has done. Dennis, this story is tragic. It's a tale of great woe. Get the tissues ready, my friends, because you're going to be weeping at the end of this.
Ben Gathering the Magic writes in and says, a shoulder to scry on. A few years ago, when I was just starting to get into magic, one of my relatives uncovered their magic collection from decades ago. It was ancient, with cards going back all the way to beta, and its contents included multiple revised duels, a city in a bottle, a eureka, and an unlimited time vault.
Thousands.
There was far more that I can't remember. Yeah, you're talking about a lot of money.
Thousands.
At the time, my only form of play was kitchen table magic, and these cards only confused me. So, although I knew their worth, I resolved that I was never going to use them. Deciding this, I packed up all the ones I knew were valuable to sell at a local game store that I'd gone to a few times before. When I showed them the cards, they spent an afternoon evaluating them before offering to purchase them all for $1,000 in store credit. At the time, this seemed like an unimaginable sum of money. Parentheses, I was 11!
Yeah. So I'm looking at this, like when I was reading this, I'm like, $1,000? Wow, you got lowballed. And then I realized, oh, they're 11. When you're 11, Dennis, can I tell you, there is no difference between $1,000 or $1,000,000.
No.
They are the same amount of money.
Yeah. After three, the number of zeros is irrelevant.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
So I happily accepted the offer. But after agreeing, a third went away to taxes, and then the remaining money was split up evenly among me and my two siblings. You got taxed on store credit? What?
Yeah. So Ben followed this up in the Discord and said that their parents insisted that he pay tax on it just to be safe.
That's really dumb.
It's really weird. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say dumb, but yep, weird. Very.
I did.
And if that was something that we were broadcasting on coverage, Dennis, it is something that I would describe as an interesting move.
Interesting line. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This left Ben with a little over $200. And to really ice the cake, it all went to boxes of Rivals of Ixalan that I opened and played without sleeves until the cards were worthless. And to truly eradicate all possible value, the rest of the collection was thrown out by my parents when I wasn't aware of it. Riley, Dennis, how do I recompense this massive loss of value to myself? I know now that if I had held on to the cards, I could have sold them for far more money than I did, but now all that's left are empty binders and regrets. This is a rather poetic, like, piece.
Yeah.
From someone who, by my math, is...
Like 15, 17?
Yeah.
Rivals of Ixalan was 2017.
2018? Yes.
Oh, Ixalan was 2017.
Rivals of Ixalan was 2018, which means this person is probably like 14.
14 or 15.
I have bad news for you, Ben.
We've got good news and bad news. Dennis, you do the bad good news. You do the bad news, I'll do the good news.
Well, you do the good news first.
Well, the good news is you've probably got a career ahead of you in writing of some kind.
Right.
Because you seem to be very good. I mean, if you are really 14, you're writing like this. I mean, yeah, start polishing that pencil, my friend, because you're going to be pushing around.
The bad news, Ben, is that while you're full of regrets over this embarrassing mistake, between now and adulthood, you have so many more mistakes coming.
Oh, of course. Oh, gee. So here's the good news. This will pale into comparison to some of the other dumb nonsense you're going to do.
Why did I say that to that guy? Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe I called the teacher mom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My girlfriend and my boyfriend did this. It's a Ben, it's a growing up. I'm sorry you have to go through it now. But
you only lost out on thousands of dollars of value here. Do you know what you're going to lose before you turn 18, my friend? Your dignity.
Oh, my all God. Of it. That's the clip that goes on Twitter.
You are going to do things in your adolescence, in your teenage years, that will haunt you for the rest. You are going to wake up in a cold sweat.
Riley's north of 30, Ben, and he still thinks about this.
And I still, oh man, I don't want to think about it, man. I still think about like the comments I made to people that I thought were going to be funny and ended up just like that. You know, when you're in a room and the whole room goes silent when you say something that you think is going to be funny and everyone hears it. Like, I can't, man. I just, oh man. So that's the good news, Ben. This is the first, you know, that's like the thing from The Simpsons. It's like, oh, you know, when Homer comes in and
says, "This is the worst day of my life." The worst day of your life so far.
Exactly. So there's the good news. Dennis, it's so good that we've been able to come together here on this podcast and and provide comfort and solace.
Harangue this child.
Yes, to this poor. Oh, dear. Anyway, that's a shoulder to cry on if you want us to make fun of you and, you know, send in your embarrassing story.
Warn you of what's to come.
And we'll...
Simultaneously, though, and Ben, real talk for a second.
Yeah.
This is real talk. Everyone says to you, when you're a kid and when you're a teenager, these are the best days of your life, kid.
Mm.
You know, the best days of your life. One, they're right. They really are. Mm. And two, no, they're not. Being a young adult is way better.
Yep. And then being in your 30s is also absolutely excellent. Like, everything has good things and bad things. Enjoy the good things. Try to forget about the bad things because, I don't know, man, this too will pass. Just like the value of those cards passed out of your hand into the LGS.
Like sand through your fingers.
Man, we are not a good shoulder to scry on, Dennis. We're supposed to be comforting and we're just here bloody... Oh, mate.
We can name the segment a shitty shoulder to scry on.
Yeah,
if you
I think
want.
That's what it is, dude. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's wrap up the show. Dennis, I've been playing so many video games. I want to talk about all of them.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Dorf Romantic. Right?
Dorf Romantic.
I want to tell you about Dorf Romantic. It is on Steam. It's like £7 or like £5 or something.
Before you get in.
All right. What do you think it is, Dennis?
I think Dorf Romantic. I think Dorf Romantic.
Yep. Spelled with a K.
I think Dorf Romantic is a game from like a Romanian developer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a gnome dating simulator.
Okay. You are wrong. It's not Dwarf Romantic. Dorf means village in German.
Uh-huh.
It is single player Carcassonne. Basically, so it's a single player board game. You have hexagonal tiles, and you have to place them in a way that they match up with the other ones. You have to build little forests, little towns, railroads, waterways, little boats and trains that go around, and you get points based on how well you match them up. And then they have little quests. So, for example, you get a thing that is like, oh, you have to build, you know, 20 fields, right? But you can't attach them to the other fields because in the other one you only need 15. So you have to limit that one to 15 while also getting 20, or you have to make a forest that has 1,000 trees and all that sort of stuff. And you have a limited stack of tiles that eventually run out and are only replenished by fulfilling quests. So it becomes harder and harder to grow your board out. Mm-hmm. Then you unlock different types of tiles eventually by meeting landmarks, that sort of stuff. There's no trading. There's no conquest. There's no combat. It is single player. A game can take anywhere from like
puzzle game,
20 minutes. And it is the most relaxing and meditative game. It is the perfect game to play like if you're on hold or like you're waiting for your friend to show up because he said he'd be ready for the podcast at 1 o'clock but isn't there at 2:15. Just as an example, right? Like that's not, you know, I'm just saying. I recommend this game very highly, especially considering how cheap it is. You will definitely get your money's worth. And if you just need a game to just like just take your mind off things, man, just to let the brain relax. Because I have trouble sitting and switching off. But if I have like something I can just vaguely focus on like that, love it. Dorf Romantic. Big thumbs up. Two big thumbs up, Dennis. What have you been playing?
Civilization 6, Riley.
Oh, tell everyone. I missed out on this game, unfortunately. Dennis, tell us.
So yeah, there's two things I want to talk about. One, me and my friends that play League, that we tried to get Riley in and he wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So we tried to play Civ. We were playing Civ.
Yep.
And first of all, I did something I thought was impossible.
I would have loved to play, by the way, but I was unable to because I was hanging out with Megan instead.
Eight of us played a game of Civ multiplayer online from start to finish in a single sitting.
Took 8 hours, but you did it.
It took 8 hours, yeah, but we did it.
Yep. Yep.
The other thing was, Riley, I'd like you to talk a little bit about how you play Civ.
So when I play Civ, I turn combat off. I turn military victories off because I don't like fighting.
You seems to me like you want to just play Dwarf Romantic.
I do basically. Like to play Dwarf Romantic, yeah, except I can do a science victory. Dwarf Romantic with science victory, yeah. Yeah, I don't mind playing against other people when we're all like...
We ran into this problem.
Yeah.
In an EDH power level group where me and you and Nikki and Jeff are going to play Civ.
Yep.
And Riley was like, we're on the same page, right? We want to turn off being able to attack each other. And the rest of us were like, what are you talking
about? What do you
mean?
Nikki was on board with it.
No.
Nikki said that's her preferred.
1 minute, 1 second.
Okay. Dennis is going to go and get Nikki.
1 second.
Dennis is going to go and get Nikki. And I assume he's going to brief her on this beforehand as well. I can assure you, dear listener, that Nikki was certainly on my side with it. Or no, even not on my side, but she was open to it at least. She was like, no, we don't have to play with combat. We don't have to play with military. I'm now just desperately filling because Dennis still isn't back. I mean, his apartment. Oh, here she is. Oh, wow.
I'm just out of the shower.
Now what? Now this is an interesting get up. Nikki is in Nikki is. Oh, that's a towel. That makes a lot of sense. It's a towel on your head. Okay.
Yeah. I'm literally just out of the shower.
So I saw you come in your dressing gown. I'm like, that's an interesting get up. It's a towel. It's not some kind of elaborate headgear.
No, it's my accidentally slightly questionable outfit.
Now, has Dennis told you what's going on here?
No.
He hasn't briefed you? He hasn't cheated by telling you what's happening? All right.
No.
So you know how a while back you, me, Jeff, and Dennis were going to play a game of Civ?
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to. Do you remember how I was like, oh, I'm not going to play because... Do you remember why?
I remember playing Civ with you.
No.
And then I...
Go on.
Was this the second time? I remember you don't like when people attack you.
Yes. Yes. Now...
Riley wanted us to turn off combat.
Oh, this is the game where the three of us played and then halfway through Jeff murdered me and I was like, maybe Riley was right.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about turning military victories off in Civilization?
Well, I don't think that makes any sense because it's Civilization.
Okay, never mind. I lose. Okay, all right.
Like, I'm going to try get for culture, but I know I'm going to get murdered, but ew.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, Dennis is like doing a raunchy dance.
Yeah, he's doing a little dance. Yeah, he's doing a little raunchy dance. He's really, really working and twerking it.
I'm useless to him.
Thank you, Nikki. All right, okay, well.
She agreed with me, though.
Yeah, well, 15 love, Dennis. Well done. Well played. I was under the impression that Nikki was like, yeah, sure, we should do that, but no. Okay, well. There will be other times.
So basically, the moral of the story is Riley's a big baby and will throw his toys out of the pram if you don't play his way.
No. I wouldn't catch it.
Thanks for listening,
like
everybody.
This.
We'll see you next
time. I mean, I'm not arguing the big baby thing, but I didn't throw my toys out of the pram. I just got in my pram and went away and played a different game.
Yeah, you drove your pram off.
I didn't
yeah,
even
true.
Take my ball and get in my pram and left. I was like, you can play with the ball. I'm just not going to.
I'm going home.
Because I don't want to be hit in the head with the ball when I'm, because I, you know, don't build defense units because I prefer to build universities.
I'm going to tell you something that happened to me in a different game we played right that's going to give you a headache, I assume.
Go on.
I built my first city. And if you've never played Civilization, I'm sorry. Built my first city, hanging out. Cool.
Mm.
Built, you know, a scout.
Mm.
Built a builder.
Yep.
Built a settler.
Yeah.
Moved that settler north.
Oh, no. I know this is going already. I hate this.
And Connell was just like, oh, I'll take that. And then it was like, oh.
Oh, he
Dennis has no units. He took my settler.
Oh, that's fine then. Good. Excellent. I thought you were going to say, do you know what I thought you were going to say? You built it the closest possible limit that the game allows you to the other person's capital, because that's the worst when that happens. Like, oh, I'll expand there, I'll get that, and you move it like halfway across the map and you've got one city on one end and you've got another city as close to the other person. It's like there's so much room for all of us and you had to come right to my front door. Why?
No. Connell took my settler. Excellent. And I was like, wait a minute, Dennis has spent 5 turns building the settler. He has not spent 5 turns building archers.
No, or a warrior. No.
So I'm gonna Zerg rush him. Yep. With Scythian horsemen. Yep. And I just got annihilated.
Good. Excellent. And that'll teach you, Dennis. You should have kept that settler within a safe distance of your capital city.
Or I should have turned combat off.
Or you should have turned combat off and then it wouldn't have been a problem, man. One day. One day I'll get you to play Civ with me without any combat. If you can get me to play Resident Evil 7 and Metal Gear Solid Bloody 2.
We still got Metal Gear Solid. Was that the worst? Was 2 the worst one?
Yeah. 2 is the one that I enjoyed playing the least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How much did you have watching it, though?
That's the real question. That's it. Yeah, I did not think much of it. No. My ranking is 3-4-1-2.
That's a pretty good ranking.
Yeah.
I'd say it's broadly an agreed upon ranking.
Oh, wow.
One's probably higher for most people.
Yeah, but I'd have the nostalgia thing. Why are we back on Metal Gear Solid chat? How does this always happen? All right, we're done. That's it. That's the end of the podcast.
Thank you all for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Remember, thank you to John Kigraff for the music. Thank you to CFB Box Breaks this week, I suppose, for the sponsorship. And always, thank you to Maddie and Hal. Right, we've got to get the copy over them. Pronto.
Yep.
But how about you and I? You and I do some boozling.
Let's go and play some Apex Legends, Dennis.
Let's boozle, baby.
Let's go. All right. Say the line.
Say the line, Barton. Stay fresh, cheesebags.